This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Eric McClain is in for Mark today as we kind of put a bow on the ACC kickoff the last couple of days in Charlotte. Great to catch up with coaches and players and Commissioner Jim Phillips, his staff, and everybody else. And just good to be around folks again, right? In a venue we get ready to talk about a big season of ACC football. Coming up in this hour, David Cutcliffe, in case you missed it, and also DJ Uiagalelei, fresh off an NIL, and Kelsey Riggs gets right to the point with DJ because she wanted to know where the Bowberry Biscuits were yesterday, but the Bojangles didn't arrive till later, and I'm not sure DJ had much to do with that. But nonetheless, topics were all over the place, Eric. And really, I think when between name, image, and likeness, college football playoff expansion, the depth at the quarterback position this league has this year, but that CFP expansion has really touched a lot of nerves, both as coaches, players, administrators. We've heard a lot of opinions here in the last 4 or 5 days on this.
Yeah, we have. And again, it's folks that don't necessarily like it. And these are the people that are going to be in the games, playing the games, competing in this type of thing. So it's going to be interesting to see the reaction. And of course, as we have more media days, as you mentioned earlier, a couple of the other, you know, major conferences having their media days later this week and next, that it's going to be interesting. Is it a trend or are people excited about the opportunity? You know, which way is the majority going to lean? And then are folks who are making these decisions going to listen to these players and coaches, et cetera? So interesting times. We talked about it a ton in hour one there, but it seems like a lot of changes is going to be coming very soon.
Well, here's the part that it kind of got it started in the ACC. It was Mack Brown and his comments a week or so back. Jeremiah Gimmel, his linebacker, kind of doubled down on it. And then earlier this week, on Tuesday, Dabo Swinney offered some comments during a Clemson preseason presser. And then at the podium yesterday in Charlotte, the Tiger head coach followed up.
I think expansion of the playoff is inevitable. I think the conversation needs to be, how do we get it right for the player? End of the day. How do we save the bowls? I think we're past the point of, you know, not that that's a foregone conclusion that it's 12 teams or whatever. I think there's a long way to go and a lot of conversation to be had on what's going to happen. But I think expansion is going to be inevitable. And, money's driving that. And I assume that's what the fans want. But I think most importantly, what do the players want? And, you know, to ask these guys to have to show up earlier, to have no open dates, to have no break between a championship game and another game, to play more games, I don't think that may be what's best for the money, maybe what's best for the fans. I don't think that's what's best for the player. And, that's my opinion. Nothing changes. So I think if we're going to expand, I think you should talk about the season as well. You know, maybe you go to 11 games instead of asking these guys to play more.
Okay, Eric, give me some reaction to Dabo's comments yesterday, because it sounds like the posture of Tuesday might have been misrepresented a little bit in what was reported, to the extent that he said the expansion of the playoff may be inevitable, but if it is, then we got to look at some other things.
Yeah, the biggest thing for him, again, is the player concern and not wanting to have to do more and not having more practices, more games. And can you imagine, just the team who just played a Clemson, an Alabama, an Oklahoma? Oh, you got to go play one more. You got to go do two more. When you kind of get into these big type of games. And, you know, I do think it's interesting that he's saying it's inevitable, it's coming, we know that, but let's just get it right. And I think we have that ability. We have enough time, we have enough resources, you know, to make a decision that encompasses everybody involved, you know, not just one part of it. I know that the money is so important, but let's involve as many people as we can. Let's get it right. And let's do it. So it's going to be interesting to see. Of course, the players and staff have seemingly all echoed each other here, and the fact that 12 is not the number, and if it is, then we need to address the regular season as well, which we've already discussed, and I think you and I both agree on that.
Well, and the interesting part about the regular season, when you start talking about shortening the regular season, and look, I get that part of the equation as it relates to the expansion of the playoff. Eric, we talk about the business of college athletics a lot, particularly on this program, because seemingly that's been where all the offseason news has been, right? But when you talk about shortening the regular season, that affects the revenue of the individual campuses and those departments and those programs. And you can't put that genie back in the bottle. Once that revenue is out and you're accustomed to budgeting that, you don't want to force your hand at another cutback. And to take away a game, I think, makes that a little tricky at times, don't you?
No, it's definitely going to be interesting. And not only for that particular institution that is, you know, changing that rule, but also the schools that benefit from those games. I mean, you think of the lower tier schools that rely upon these $1 million games to be played and to function. I mean, that's a good portion of their athletic budget at times. And so it is something that, you know, Wes, like you said, you can't put it back in, the genie in the bottle there once it happens. It is something that, again, I hope everyone fully looks at and understands. There's a ton of moving parts. There is a lot that needs to be discussed and thoroughly thought through before we say, yeah, let's just do it. Let's do this.
All right, here's the backside of this. The players are picking up more and more momentum. And Jeremiah Gimmel started this in terms of the ACC when he was interviewed a week or so back at North Carolina's preseason media availability, if you will, or summer availability. And then Gimmel was in attendance in Charlotte and continued to, you know, counter on why he and his teammates are opposed to the expansion of the playoff.
Personally, I think 12 is too many games for college football players, especially guys like me and Tamon who played long seasons, wear and tear on your body. But then again, like, maybe you can go 6 to 8, maybe right there, but I feel like 12 is too much. Like, I look at it as if you're a 12-ranked team in the nation, 11-ranked team in the nation, you got those blemishes on your record, then I don't think you're at the level to go and compete for a national championship. And I think, with all honesty, I think out of all the time that we've had these playoffs, I think the number 4 seed team only won it one time. And I think that was the first year that the college football playoff came out. That's when Ohio State won it with Cardale Jones. And I don't think a number 3 team won the national championship. So to think and put 12 and 8, 6 teams in, I think it's good for the fans. But, I mean, for the players, I don't know if it's the best call.
I'll give you this, Eric. He's got his history worked out now. I mean, Jeremiah's not coming at this with no just a flipping, hey, I don't want to play. I don't want to play 17.
That's right.
Jeremiah's got the book down now, and I'm going to tell you, that's the part that I respect. It's not just we're not interested in playing 17. He understands the process and how it plays out. And here's the other thing, too. When a player says it, as opposed to a coach or a media type like us, I think it changes things. I really do. I think the attitude really changes about the way people process it, especially fans.
Yeah, Jeremiah coming with receipts. He understands the game and what's happened. And again, history showing that, hey, is it necessary? And again, we were having side conversations and say, okay, what playoffs is everyone, you know, available or able to win these things? And it's not about that. It's about the journey. It's about opportunity for that one. But again, like you said, Wes, when it's the players saying this, people tend to perk up a little bit more. Those ears tend to, you know, listen a little bit with more detail with when they say that. So again, I'm very interested to see how do these next couple of media days go and hear from people in the Big Ten, folks in the Pac-12, and just say, okay, is there any kind of uniformity, you know, with this expression from the players?
Yeah, and here's the other part about it. It's not just players. You heard Dabo Swinney talk about it. Next up here is Dave Clawson, the head coach at Wake Forest. Now, if you remember, he joined us from Winston-Salem prior to our little hiatus before we came back this week. And Dave Clawson talked about not just the expansion of the playoff, but its potential impact on bowls and how important the bowl experience was to college football. Not to diminish that, not to take it for granted. Now, Grant, not everybody sees it the same way, but Dave Clawson presents some pretty compelling arguments why he's not enthusiastic about changing the structure of postseason college football.
To constantly be adding games, conference championships, rounds of playoffs, and then the roster pressure you're now getting from a one-time transfer rule, the roster pressure from people who opt out. And they're not just opting out for bowl games, they're opting out in October if they don't have the role they want. Or their agents are telling them in November, hey, you don't need to play anymore, you're already a first-round pick. You know, at a certain point, you just can't keep burning it at both ends. And so if we're going to make this move, and it looks like there's a good chance it's going to happen to add a tournament and add games, at a certain point, we have to go back and look at the rosters. We do not have the ability to sign guys off the waiver wire or another team's practice squad when we get hurt out of position with injuries or opt-outs in November. And I really think, you know, if this is good for college football and the powers that be deem that we should add games and make it a tournament and expand the playoffs, at a certain point you have to do things to help coaches manage the roster to make it safer for players.
Wow. Okay, Eric, that is a wide stroke statement. And it is, I mean, Dave Clawson, when he starts talking about it, you go, oh boy, he's got some really good points.
Yeah, again, did not hear that, you know, with our coverage, just so many different moving parts. And that's a very interesting perspective, and one that, honestly, until he just said that, didn't even think of that comparison. And the fact that, yeah, the NFL has this great, you know, playoff system and tournament, but they can also sign guys at will up until the playoff if they need so, and maybe even in the playoff. I'm not as familiar as maybe you are, Wes, but it's something that is – it can't happen in college. Guys can leave, but they can't be replaced, and guys are injured and they can't be replaced. And so we keep wanting to elongate and add more games and add more things there, but if we don't have the players to do so, what kind of situation are we in there? So – I love having all these perspectives. It's so unique. Again, just and even different programs. You know, Wake Forest, admittedly so, is a developmental program. And I heard Coach Clawson say that 100 times last year when he was not able to have the practices the spring, the summer, to get his team to where he might want them to be. Now you're taking away guys in the middle of a season potentially. How are we going to even make this playoff run? So, again, so many changes, so many interesting things going to arise from all of this expansion talk.
All right, I'm going to give you one thing here to go to the house on the weekend with as it relates to name, image, and likeness and the expansion of the playoff and the schedule and bowls and all this in one fell swoop. And this actually came up. I heard this, and I can't remember specifically where and who. But I'm going to ask you this as a player who played in bowls and played in the biggest game college football has. Am I crazy to think that somewhere along the way, bowl sponsorships at some point may provide some financials and the name, image, and likeness roof under that roof to bowl participants to offset the opt-outs at the end of the year, Eric? Is that a crazy idea in your world?
I think it's a great idea, and it'll be very interesting to see, you know, do they do that? There's already these great bowl gifts. There's always these great experiences that are given. Now, is it like a roster bonus almost? Is there a little bit extra, you know, cash? Coach Sweeney came on again. I can't remember whether it was what set it was on, but he was talking about, okay, if you go to the playoff, you're getting close to $2,500. If you go to X Bowl, you're getting, you know, $100, you know. So is there a way to close that gap with, you know, some type of sponsorship model for these student athletes? Again, these companies are their brands, their logos are going on the bowl gear. This is the AutoZone Bowl a couple of years ago. all of your stuff is going to have that on it. You're going to be wearing it. You should be receiving some type of benefit for that. So I agree with you. That would be a very interesting look at it. Is there a way to, you know, just help these guys out a little bit more for participating in your bowl?
Yeah. All right. Sit tight. When we come back, Duke's David Cutcliffe on what it's like to have a normal football season. And what difference will that make for his Duke team, who've got a first-year starter in Gunnar Holmberg? We will talk with Cut next, in case you missed it, from the ACC kickoff in Charlotte. Next, as Packer and Durham continues on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Minute by minute. Feels like last summer a little bit, doesn't it, E-Mac? I mean, minute by minute.
Yeah, it does.
You never know.
Yeah, it does.
David Cutcliffe was with us on the set on Wednesday at the ACC kickoff in Charlotte. And Coach Cutcliffe, who's trying to get Duke back to kind of in stride, if you will, after a couple of years of frustration, pretty honest with Kelsey Riggs and I when we started our visit, by saying the offseason looks a whole lot different this year than it did last year.
One of the old adages I've always used as a football coach was a farmer's wisdom of plant well in the spring or beg well come fall. Well, we didn't have a spring or summer last year to get the seed planted, so it's been fun, to be honest with you, to have this opportunity to be with our team.
Yeah.
And to be back here together and talking football and in this position as we get ready for the next year is something that we've heard everybody talk about throughout the day. Coach, when you look back on last year, we've talked throughout the day about sometimes the best lessons that you learn about your players and about your team are some of the challenging moments. What did you learn from your team last season?
Well, I think that you never devalue chemistry in January, February, March, April, May, June, and we didn't get July. I think I understand what we've been doing all these years right. Without that, it's a bit of a crapshoot. But what I also know is this. When you're with a collective group of people that you care about and you collectively go through tough times and you take ownership, those are the times we have opportunity to grow the most. And I think our young people that left us and our young people that have returned became something special throughout sharing all of those difficult times.
Yeah. A little bit of a tune-up on your coaching staff. Jeff Ferris takes over as offensive coordinator, a guy who you thought of at a high level for a long time. Matt Guerrero, Ben Albert still do the defensive thing for you. Raekwon Boyette taking a little bit more of an ownership role in this. Take me through those adjustments and how that meeting room now evolves to the way you want Duke to play.
Well, a year ago, I really tried to do too much. Management was the hardest it's ever been. I'd never used the word protocol before in my life. I had never used the word COVID, and that's all I was talking about was COVID protocol. So I really felt like it was a good time for me to get back to being a head football coach. I have young coaches and some older coaches that are extremely talented and were ready. You don't give somebody anything. They earn these opportunities, and that's what I told Jeff and Ray. Same thing I'd said to Matt and Ben earlier. So I love our staff. We made one addition and one change. We brought in Calvin McGee, who's a very experienced coach on offense, and moved Trooper Taylor over to where he played in the secondary on defense, and he brings an energy there that's second to none. I've had fun with this team, but I've had a great deal of fun with this staff.
Coach, we have been talking about quarterbacks all day long here, and your quarterback, Gunnar, is here and excited to see what he's able to do this year. There's nobody that knows quarterbacks probably better than you and developing them and the talent. And here's a guy who's been in your program for a long time that's really going to get a huge opportunity. What can we expect to see from him? How much have these last few years helped him?
I think the biggest thing for Gunnar is the realization that as people view, am I going to be a really good quarterback? It's not what you're going to do even on the practice field. It's your year-round preparation. It's not just in the meeting room. Mm. It's the physical aspects. Gunner's biggest issue has been to stay healthy. Your body takes a beating as a quarterback. He is stronger. He's really fast. He's gifted in every way, but he's going to be healthier. But he's also gone into that meeting room. His understanding of what we expect from him is outstanding, and I'm excited for him, excited for his mom. I know, you know, this is a great time for them as a family, being a local guy, being the starting quarterback at Duke University. Go, man, go. And so let's go into this full speed.
All right. It's ironic in many ways, though. We got 13 quarterbacks back in this league who've got some degree of starting experience, and lo and behold, you're the one that has the guy that's the odd guy out. So when you look at where he is and you look at where this league is, what's your expectation for him as he opens this campaign?
Well, one of the key elements to training a quarterback, and I know game experience is special, but is making practice like a game your entire career. Mm. I would have to say, what do you do, David Cutcliffe, really well with quarterbacks? The day they step on campus, their job is to make every practice a game. Mm-hmm. And if you're a backup, it's even more important. And how do you do that? Well, you can in your preparation, you can in the performance. You're not ever going through the motions. It is your game, it is a game. And Gunner's ready for this. And nobody gives you confidence. And I've talked to him about that. You've earned it. And he knows that he's earned that confidence. And his teammates believe that because they see his habits and how he practices and what he brings to the table. So I'm excited. I'm not nervous a bit. I'm excited for what we're going to see from him.
Yeah, I want to follow up in this light. We touched earlier when we were talking with E.J. Manuel about all the quarterbacks, and Mark Richt chimed in. Quarterback's best friend might be a run game.
I was going there, too, yeah.
You've got a luxury in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've kind of seen Mateo Durant, and everybody throws out the yards per carry stat. Coach, what is the most impressive thing Mateo Durant's done from the end of last year to where we're getting ready to go?
Physically has changed his body. He is going to be a force to reckon with. He's got great speed, but also incredible short space quickness. And from what I've seen from spring practice, he worked so hard physically from the season end till the start of spring ball, he was a different guy.
Yeah.
So he is stronger. He's also committed himself, and I've really talked to Mateo about this, pass game, pass protection. You don't need a quarterback telling you what you should do. If you're a senior running back, he should know our pass protection scheme like a quarterback.
Yeah.
And so Mateo's going to play a huge role in this. And Mark Richt's right. Your best friend is a running game other than two or three All-American offensive linemen.
Well, yeah.
That gives you quite the confidence as a quarterback coming into this league as well.
No.
All right, that's David Cutcliffe with us from Charlotte at the ACC kickoff. Mateo Durant, just one piece of what Duke hopes to do. The Blue Devils start the season at Charlotte that opening weekend, then get three straight home games, Eric. What's your thinking on David Cutcliffe's team? I'm not sure when the ACC preseason numbers come out later today, they'll be picked particularly high, but they could prove you wrong, too. They've got a friendly, workable schedule.
Yeah, if there's anybody who is in a good position to not have returning, you know, quarterback experience, it's the quarterback whisperer in David Cutcliffe, Coach Cut there. And like you guys brought up, I think Mateo Durant is a special guy. I'm excited to see him, his new body in pads and getting a little stronger, probably getting a little bit bigger, and really just to be the main guy. You know, he split reps for so much of his career, now most likely more than not going to be, you know, the marquee back, the bell cow, if you will, back there. So it's going to be fun to watch, exciting to see, you know, just for Duke, how far can he take them?
All right, don't forget, part of our ACC football coverage begins on August the 4th. Because Eric McLean and Kelsey Riggs will be in Raleigh for the ACC football road trip. And that's our debut. I know, big fellow on campus. Maybe a one-on-one with Emack and Ike Ekwonu. That's what I'm looking forward to right there.
Oh, yeah.
A little tackle line about. Guard play, little TG technique stuff. That's what we need to get into. NC State kicks us off, followed by Duke and Carolina. Then we go Louisville, Pitt, Boston College, leading all the way through the 27th when we visit with the Clemson Tigers. When we come back, we go and visit with Clemson's new quarterback, Inland Empire California's DJ Uiagalelei is next, in case you missed it on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Friday's Packer and Durham continues here on ACC Network. Eric McClain filling in for Mark. Great to have the big fellow with us. Okay, DJU made the rounds. I got to tell you, Mac, I was impressed. This is a kid who, I mean, there's a lot to be expected of. We saw two starts a year ago, a lot of backup play. But, man, he handled that thing beautifully yesterday. There are a lot of guys that come in with that kind of hype, don't have a lot to say, but DJ was ready. He was on point with just about everything, wasn't he?
He really was, and that was what was interesting to see, just his maturity levels, you know, a guy who's going to be now coming in as the first-year starter, and you would have thought he's been there two, three times. I mean, he was ready for the moment. He looked fantastic, and again, just the way that he carried himself was a veteran. It was like a veteran, and so, you know, kudos to his father, to Clemson, and you know, everybody on his kind of team of surrounding around him, growing him up, keeping him mature, and you know, making sure there is not a moment that he is not ready for. There's no lights that are too bright, and of course, we will see if that's continued as the stages that he will probably play on this year will be some of the biggest.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We started our conversation with him yesterday on our set in the kind of the Radio Row area by saying, how big an advantage do you have going into this year starting two high-profile games against Boston College and Notre Dame a year ago?
I think it was a huge advantage to be able to get to start two games, just get my feet wet, get to play against two great teams, Boston College here, and then get to play against Notre Dame. So, I mean, it was just a great experience to get out there and play, even though we didn't win both games. It was super cool for me just be out there, get to go through a starting lineup, like a whole week of like preparations being a starting quarterback. So it was really cool.
You got that experience, you got those reps, but now you have even more because you've had a whole spring season with this team, knowing that you're the guy. What has that been like, and what have you learned about the group of guys you have around you?
Well, I've known that we're going to have a really great team. We're going to have a lot of firepower on the offense, great defense. We're ready to play. So I think we're going to have a real great season. We have a lot of great players, a lot of receivers, great offensive linemen, good running backs, you know. People that have been gone since last year, we're going to be ready to play though.
But DJ, what do you focus on? I mean, you had some tape obviously to work with. You had some real experience. You and I talked in the spring. Trevor was a great mentor in terms of 100%. What this was all going to be about. So now, how do you process that to put your own personality, your own style to it, I guess?
For me, I just take it one day at a time. Don't try to think too far ahead. Whatever the day is today, just take that day and go give it 110% and just continue to keep stacking great days on great days. So that's how I approach every single day. Wow. Just take it one day at a time. Don't look too far ahead. Just live in the moment.
Wes, you mentioned Trevor and the relationship that the two of you had over the years. Yes, have you talked? Do you still keep in contact all the time? Does he give you any advice before coming into an event like this? And kind
what
of
do you do with best? $24 million guaranteed on the $36 yeah. million dollar deal, that kind of thing? Is that what y'all discuss?
Man, I try not to bother him too much. He's a busy man. He's in the NFL now, so I try not I might text him here and there, but I know he's super busy. So I try not to give him a lot of text or anything because I just try to make him live his life. He just had his wedding. He just went on a honeymoon. He's trying to be a star. He's going to be a starting quarterback for the Jaguars. So I just want him to just live his life. I don't want to put any pressure on him.
A busy guy, but I'm sure he'd be happy to hear from you anytime just because of the relationship that you guys had. And we think about losing Trevor and then think about losing Travis Etienne, some of your wide receivers. I mean, you guys lost a ton of talent, but when you look at what you brought back this year, you guys just seem to reload. Tell us about some of those players that have really stood out. I know we're excited about Lin Jay, and we're real excited about Will Shipley as well at running back.
Lin Jay, Will Shipley, Kobe Pace, Phil Maffa. There's going to be a lot of running
Michael
backs.
Dukes, come
Michael
on, right?
Dukes. I mean, there's seven guys deep that can be able to run the ball. So it's going to be real exciting. Even though we lost Travis, leading rusher in ACC, we're going to have a lot of people to be able to fill in for his shoes and just try to do their best. We have a lot of guys to be able to rotate, run the rock, catch it out the backfield just like he did.
All right. Coach Elliott said something about competitive depth. It's a term I heard used by a couple different schools. You've got competitive depth at running back. You've got competitive depth at wide receiver. How do you factor into that? You challenge these guys a little bit? Do you all kind of set bars and goals a little bit here, even in the offseason?
I think they have their own bar set. They know where they, like, each position, they know where they want to be at. And each player, they want to be on the field. So I feel like that there's a competition in between itself that no one wants to sit the bench, that everyone wants to be there, be the person on the field when it starts the game. So I feel like there's a competition, but there's also like a family atmosphere. So it's healthy competition, but it's not like people are like trying to like go at each other, like do something dirty to each other. It's all friendly competition.
Speaking of that family atmosphere, I feel like you guys in the locker room knew what you had in Darian Rinter and everything that he brings. And I feel like maybe last year more of the world got to see, to have him back there. What is that like, and how much does he mean to this program?
He's a huge voice. Huge voice in the locker room, huge voice in the program, and huge voice for college football. So be able to have Rinter come back for a sixth year is a true blessing. I mean, he's a great player, great person off the field, so I'm super excited to have him back.
All right, take me through kind of the run-up now. You've had the offseason. You guys have worked out. You've lifted, done all the stuff you need to do to get ready for 21. There's this game, we were talking about earlier. It's sitting out there, and it's all anybody's going to talk about, DJ, until it kicks. Is that okay? That's a pretty good spotlight for you guys, I think.
I know, 100%. I mean, we're super excited to play Georgia. Great football, great tradition there at Georgia. So we can't wait for that game to happen on September 4th. We're just really excited and ready for the game.
You're here in Charlotte already. You're going to take a trip over a couple blocks up?
We might have to.
See what things look like?
Yeah, we might have to go look at the stadium before in about a month and get over there and kick it off.
Unbelievable. I tell you, how's Inland Empire handling all this, by the way? How's Cali? How's Southern California handling DJU in Charlotte or in Clemson?
Hey, I mean, I went back home for a little bit, got to see my mom. I know my mom's watching right now. Hi, Mom. But it's always good to go back home. But, I mean, I love it out here in Clemson. It's a great town, great feeling, and I wouldn't have chosen for the world. Love being here.
You mentioned your family, and I know that's something that's really important. Mm-hmm. How much does that factor into who you are today and your why and your motivation every day?
I mean, that's my everything. Mom, she's my everything. Brother, dad, I mean, I love them all. So that's what I do it for. Same thing with Jesus Christ. But I love my family. You know, I'll ride with them till the wheel falls off.
Man, I got to tell you, there are a lot of people excited to see you go with this. And I just can't think of how much the benefit a year ago helps, DJ. Mm-hmm. I mean, in all aspects of it, not just starting the two ball games, but getting the reps and kind of the way the BC game went, even to a degree the way the Notre Dame game went, right?
Yes, sir. No, definitely. I mean, be able to get in those games, I mean, it's going to help out a lot. It's going to be big for me just to be able to get my feet wet, 100%.
DJ, got to ask you, too. We've talked about a lot of different of the big football topics, and we heard yesterday that something that came out, or I guess the day before yesterday, was that you guys had some conversations, and Dabo had some conversations with y'all about college football playoff expansion, and are they for or against 12 team? Can you just share kind of some of those conversations with us and how you guys feel and kind of came to that? I'm sure it's not everybody. It's split. Yeah. Right? You can't sum up how a whole group feels in one sentence.
I mean, I just found out about it last night at dinner. We were talking about it, that they want to do, I think, the 12 team expansion, right? For college football playoffs. I mean, I don't know too much about it. I don't really have an opinion on it. I'm not sure what to do. I know, and for me, I have absolutely no clue. I think that would be a great idea, though, to have 12 teams and be able to make the college football playoffs. But I mean, it's whatever the league wants or whatever the college football playoffs wants too.
Do you know why he doesn't have an opinion on this, Eric? Because it's not going to affect him.
Tell me.
He will be in the league by the time the playoff expands. That's why he doesn't have an opinion.
That's right. Yeah, he won't ever get to experience it, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the question, and I appreciate, you know, kind of we all talk about it, but I'm not surprised. I wasn't entirely surprised at that answer because he's in the moment. He's got a mammoth opener. He knows it. And I think and look, you're going to hear about the two starts last year, but think about the dynamic of the BC game and the dynamic of the Notre Dame game. Emac, as a guy that started nearly, 50 games in your career at Clemson, how big an advantage, how many games does BC and Notre Dame count for him with the way those games went? And when people think about those games, that's like starting six games.
as a true freshman.
Right. I mean, the experiences that he learned from that and just the situations that he was put in, those were not regular games. I mean, down 18 at one point against Boston College to face all that adversity, to go to a place like Notre Dame and face a top team in the country, all the adversity that they dealt with up there, and then to still go into overtime, be right there to win the possible game, you're right. I mean, it's on paper two starts, but it's almost a season worth of adversity and opportunity that he played in those games. So come Georgia, he's going to be more than ready. What a great opener right here or right there where we were in Charlotte, and excited to see those two big teams play. And really just him. I'm very interested to see, you know, Wes, how is Clemson going to use him? Because depth at quarterback is going to be a problem for Clemson. We all know what happened to Tyson in that game.
Yeah.
You know, hurting his ankle, his Achilles there. And, you know, behind him is a walk-on. And so you talk about his ability to run the ball, but are you going to want to run him? Understanding that puts him at such a adverse situation and an impossible injury. But it has been such a big part of Clemson's playbook in these past couple of years. It's going to be interesting to see how the game is called, how it's changed post-Trevor, post-Travis Etienne.
Well, and there's the other thing, too, and I'll go back to a topic Kelsey and I visited with Uiagalelei on, and that is the seven different running backs, six different running backs Clemson could play in that game.
Right.
And, Eric, you know this, when we had the spring game, from Maffa to Pace to Dukes to Lin Jay to Shipley, they come in all shapes and sizes, my man. I mean, there is a gear for everybody in the Tiger run game. And I think Tony Elliott and Dabo Swinney and those guys can use those running backs to a huge advantage. Not many schools in the country have that kind of talent depth at that particular position.
I agree with you, and I bet they get really creative with it as well, whether that's some wildcat packages, and you ask why do you do the quarterback run? Sure, they're effective, but it's also to get that extra hat, that extra blocker. So if you have two running backs in the backfield, you can still have that. Now, of course, they'll have to find a guy who is, you know, comfortable with that and has the ability to do so, but I would not be surprised at all if we saw some wildcat packages from Clemson to have still, you know, that quarterback run type of game plan there without putting your quarterback at risk. So you said it, an embarrassment of riches. Also going to be interesting to see, okay, it might start with Lin Jay because he's the senior, he's the veteran guy, but does it finish with Lin Jay? Is there a change? Does someone step up and really elevate and separate themselves from the pack? Or is it even a week-to-week type deal where, you know, it's a different guy based on how they practice. They get the nod and they get to go out and have their best game. So a very interesting storyline. Probably the biggest question mark, Wes, and going into this season for Clemson is just who's going to be the guy at running back.
Yep, good point. All right, when we come back, we've shown you a lot from the kickoff in Charlotte the last couple of days, but we haven't shown you the best of the kickoff. We showed you some really good stuff, but there is some best of. Oh, including the gear. Man, did we see some clothes. What are you guys eating? Bojangles? Nice.
Little Bojangles.
It's not
come
the
on.
Weekend menu, but it's close when we come back on Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Final turn on the Friday edition of Packer and Durham. Eric McClain's been good enough to join us on this Friday. Josh Macri, Angela Rogers, you guys have done a phenomenal job. Thank you all for helping us. We got a lot of people trying to that got back late last night, that were working around trying to get through the Southeast, navigate traffic either by land or air. So thanks to everybody. We had a wonderful time on and off the air in Charlotte, just being back together really for the first time since January of 20 when we were all in New Orleans on the football side for the college football playoff championship game between Clemson and LSU. And in all honesty, that was really about the last time all of us were in the same room. So it was kind of cool to – and it was a big room, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome that night, but it was fun to be together again and be able to reconnect. Eric, Monday on this show, by the way, Monday on this show, we are going to announce the preseason ACC poll that was submitted by those attending the kickoff. So we'll do that on Monday's show along with some other things too. We talk a lot about the business of college football, as we said at the top today. But did you come away with any new thoughts on the football season itself from the last 2 days in Charlotte?
You know, I honestly think the quarterback position, the year of the quarterback, how excited everyone seems to be. I heard it mentioned multiple times by coaches, by players, by, you know, just our guys on the huddle set, on your set, and you know, all across the media. People are excited, and there is very high expectations from that position, from these teams. And now the biggest thing is to go out and execute. So I'm excited to see it. And, man, we start with an absolute bang. Labor Day weekend, the ACC is in four or five marquee games and big-time time slots, big-time networks. So just can't wait to watch it all.
Well, yesterday afternoon when we closed our coverage from Charlotte, I asked you and Coach Rick to predict or pick out your favorite week one game. And the problem is you got about five and we only were able to pick about three.
Right.
I mean, I'll even go in this came up yesterday in a brief visit I had with Scott Satterfield. He said, week one is so good that our game on Monday night just feels like we're waiting and waiting and waiting. It seems like that Thursday night is – he said to me, it seems like Thursday night is a month before Monday night. And I totally understand that.
Right. I totally agree with both of you. And think, man, that Ole Miss-Louisville game, you want some fireworks, you want some offense, tune into that. I cannot wait to see it. And again, Florida State, Notre Dame. Week one is so slam-packed. It's going to be fantastic. From Thursday to Monday night, the ACC will be playing football. And you guys, you want it, you've got it. And cannot wait to see it all.
All right. All right, Eric, thanks so much for being a part of the Friday show. Always good to be with you on this ride. And have a great weekend, my man.
I appreciate you, brother. Thanks always for having me.
All right. Here is the best of the ACC kickoff.
Welcome into the 2021 ACC football kickoff.
I've been wanting to do this for a long, long time, my friend. I wish I could hug you, but we're big guys in these small chairs, and that wouldn't really work.
The ACC's in really good shape in terms of its football.
And Coach Mark Richt, he's just so gosh darn handsome, it makes me feel inferior sitting next to him.
Now, our fans are the best fans in America, and they don't come to the game to sit on their hands and be entertained. They come to actively help our kids win the game.
Show the lining. Come on, let's get a shot of the lining because the lining is.
See, I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that was coming.
Yeah, we got a little lining here.
I'll just put it like this. I have not lost to North Carolina or Duke.
I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming.
The Travis Scotts, aren't they, EJ, on Coach's feet?
Yeah, Jordan, he's a special man. I don't know if Coach knows the value of these things, but Coach, make sure you do not leave these laying around in a hotel because people will be looking for them.
Miami and Alabama. I mean, nothing like starting your season off against the defending national champ. Right. Coach, a huge opportunity for Miami.
Well, that game is my fault. I said, let's see, I'll be in year five, and by then we ought to have it rolling. Let's go play them boys.
Year seven, head coach. That's your first time head coach at Pitt?
Yes, sir.
You think you got it figured out yet? Are you enjoying it?
Hell no. I'm enjoying it, but you never have it figured out, do you?
We're really fortunate. We got the best partner in sports in ESPN.
Do you feel like you could do a backflip in that fitted suit?
Well, since the fitted suit, my legs don't really go up as far, and my feet are a little bit slippery with these shoes on right now.
Yeah.
Who's your starting quarterback?
Well, I'm excited about the playmakers that we have.
So we're not quite going to break the news right now, yes. Coach Rick. We're not going to get there.
Nice try, though. That's closer. The presentation was great.
I thought for sure you were going to show up with some Beauberry biscuits or something for us.
That's probably the second time someone said that.
You're going to get it all day long.
I should have brought some sweet tea, should have brought some Bojangles, and that's on me.
I went to bed feeling great about our 15 schools. I wouldn't trade any of our 15 schools for anything.
You know, being mentally right in any aspect, whether you're going through an injury or just going through life, you know, you got to be right in that aspect. You got to got to make sure your chickens and your mentals are right.
A lot of people in Garnet and Gold are going to be really excited to see you play. Mm-hmm. But there are going to be a lot of people in college football who are going to be excited to see you play.
I get myself some Bojangles. I'm still hot. I know Emac's jealous over there.
We're very excited to meet Tuffy.
Gonna be a big dog. The paws on that dog.
I know, man. I know. He's a good dog, though.
Oh, yeah.
Very good dog.
I want to be very clear. Don't sandbag me over here. I love my job, but I don't want to do it for free. What would you like to see the future hold with Notre Dame joining this conference?
I thought it was breaking news that Notre Dame and Auburn were joining the ACC. Georgia. Georgia and Notre Dame
don't
are joining the ACC. Isn't that what happened?
Don't say that.
That's part of the reason we're playing in Charlotte. They were in the conversation. I mean, Texas, Oklahoma, Georgia.
Then it
Notre
gets posted
Dame.
On Twitter, Coach. Don't say it. Don't do that.
Kelsey, I got to be honest with you. Uh-huh. You know what he wanted to know earlier today?
What's that?
Does this count as a Packer and Durham appearance?
Oh, wow. You're trying to check off that bucket list, too, right?
That's the most important thing I'm going after is that one. So I know Pack's watching at home. If he signs off on it, then I'm glad this won't count.
You know, here's the problem, Eric. Your football coach wanted to start some things on expansion, didn't he?
That's right.
He wanted
right.
to back off that playoff expansion and get to expansion of teams. Unbelievable. Thanks so much for being a part of the Friday show. We'll see you Monday morning at 7 a.m. Packer and Durham rolls on, man. I'll tell you what a wonderful 2 days in Charlotte. Football season is here now, folks. Practices start in two
Let's
weeks
go.
On campuses Come right on. When the road show begins. Thanks to Josh Macri and Angela Rogers for helping us get through the show. All of our folks on SiriusXM ACC 371 and on the ESPN app. For Eric McClain, West Durham, have a great weekend. Take care.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.